Good afternoon, Rabbi Sai. So, yesterday was really the precursor for today's shiur. Hope you enjoyed yesterday. Yesterday was a little bit of, you know, just to get a touch. Everybody says, you know, Lamdus only belongs to Ashkenazim. That's wrong. Mapitom. There's plenty of Lamdus by the Sfaradim also. Just by the Sfaradim, we take out some halachot from the Lamdus as well. Yeah? No harm done. So now, we spoke extensively yesterday about the, I'm not going to call it the history of Sefek Sfeka. Sounds like a college course. The history of Sefek Sfeka. But spoke about that, spoke about different shitot on the mechanism of how Sefek Sfeka works. Now I said that today would be a little bit of a continuum. Although we find that was the example, the principal example of Sefek Sfeka that the Gemara spoke about yesterday in the Sugya of Petach Betuach, but there are many other variations of Sefek Sfeka that the Poskim use that don't necessarily follow the same rubric as the one the Gemara does. And I'll explain. Sometimes when you find the term Sefek Sfeka in the Poskim, it's not necessarily exactly the way we said it yesterday. It's more of Tzirufim. Tzirufim, which is another way to refer to this idea of Sefek Sfeka, is taking various shitot, okay? Various shitot in, not necessarily all in the same area of halacha, various shitot in different elements of halacha. Each one we may or may not necessarily hold of, but when combined, when you put all of these factors, variables, tzirufim together, it creates a psak. Now, you have to know, sometimes there's sefek sfekot lehakim. There's also something called sefek sfekot lehachmir. I'm not talking about that right now. But tzirufim in general means you make a heter based on different shitot in the poskim that alone we may not hold of, but as the name indicates, what's a tziruf? Joining, you put it together, you mitzaref all the shitot together, and then you make this new thing, this new halacha, and you make this new psak. Yeah. Tziruf. Saddi, yod, resh, vav, pesofit. Now, I'm good. Yeah.
How do you know which psak? Meaning, I know through all of it, but obviously, so like, how do you know?
There's rules. Yeah, it's pretty abstract. That's
how do you
true. So the answer to that is,
you can't do it.
Like, huh?
I can't. We can't do it.
No. We all technically could. Let me explain. Somebody asks, how do you become a posik? Somebody asked me one time, how do you become a posik? So the answer is very simple. You have to learn through, or better yet, how do you know what to pasken? The answer is that you got to learn a lot of, besides for everything else you have to learn, shas and yishonim, you have to learn a lot of poskim to see what they pasken and see how they do it, which means everything in Am Yisrael has to do with the Mesorah. We've spoken about this before. You got to hook up to that Mesorah in order to know what to do. In order to know when a Safek Sfeka is appropriate and when it's not, you have to be well-versed in Talmudic and halachic literature to know when it's called for and when it's not. When can you make a Safek Sfeka? And you look through especially works of Acharonim, especially works of Shelot u'Tshuvot. You see when they do it, when they don't do it. What kind of shitot? You know, de'a yichida'a. Is it an individual opinion? Is it, you know, just one posek saying it? Is it a bunch of poskim saying the same thing? There are methods, but today I'm not going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to give you an example of a classic Sefek Sfeka that is, you know, we're going to show, and what happens when Sefek Sfeka clash with other laws that we have. If you remember yesterday, we spoke about clashing of the din of Sefek Deoraita L'Chumra versus Rov. What do you do? I already told you what the Rashba would do with it. What do you do when you have Sefek Sfekot that clash with other rules that we may have? Other rules being maybe Hora'ot Maran HaShulchan Aruch. What happens when you have a Sefek Sfeka going against Maran? You've grown up your whole life, everyone's telling you Sfaradim kiblo aleihem hora'ot Maran, Ashkenazim kiblo aleihem hora'ot Rama, and all of a sudden you're faced with a Sefek Sfeka, or you're faced with any other halachic mechanism that might tell you that you can act a little bit different than Maran. What do you do then? Watch. The example, as I dropped the hint yesterday, I want to talk about the next series, is Bishul Yisrael. Very famously, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama disagree. Now again, a little bit of, I want to give you a little background. Mideoraita, Bishul Akum is not something that's asur, min HaTorah. The Torah doesn't forbid a goy to cook anything for you. As long as all the other dini mideoraita, the shechita, the melicha, everything else is worked out, it's not an issue. Nevertheless, the Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed He Amud Bet, the Mishnah says that the Chachamim instituted an isur of Bishul Akum, of goyim cooking foods for you. Okay, and there are a lot of detailed laws. What it applies, everybody knows. It doesn't, Bishul Akum doesn't apply to all foods, as you all know. Which foods does it not apply to?
Non-delicacies.
Bread.
Meaning,
what's, oh, Ole al Shulchan Melachim, meaning delicacies that wouldn't be served at a king's table. There's one other exception.
Not cooked.
Davar she'ne'echal kemot shehu chai. Something that's able to be eaten raw, as is. Yeah, those things don't, everything else, if it's Ole al Shulchan Melachim, and it's not ne'echal kemot shehu chai, the Isur of Bishul Akum applies to it. Huh? It has to be melapet boitapat. That's another one of the conditions. That's part of Ole al Shulchan Melachim. Very good. Now, listen carefully.
Is it? It's only avodat kochavim. Meaning it was a ger toshav, even though they're not Jewish. Mm. Would that still apply?
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Good, good, good.
It's like if good. Noahide comes up. And
yeah. Still asur. I'm going to prove that to you soon. Now watch. I want you to listen. What's the reason the Chachamim said goyim can't cook your food? It's machloket. Rashi on the Mishnah says one thing. On Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph in Avodah Zarah, Rashi says something else. And it happens to be a big machloket apostim. One opinion is, Rashi brings down, is Mishum Chatnut. Is because we're afraid that as a result, you know, food is a very powerful tool. Not only in Judaism, but throughout the world. Why is food so powerful?
Brings people together.
Eating, drinking brings people together. Anytime you celebrate, anytime you mourn Bar Minan, it's all about food. Yeah, for some, we've spoken. You remember what I told you? There's two kinds of people in this world.
Eat to live, live to eat.
That's it. That's the only two kinds of people in the world. You got to pick what side you're on. Right? Eat to live, live to eat. Two kinds of people. Now, that being said, so listen carefully. Slicha. So the Chachamim were concerned that if you allow goyim to start cooking for you, what's going to happen? You're going to get so close and close, and all of a sudden, boom, assimilation. Chachamim had to cut it somewhere, and they say, no bishul akum, in. Now, there's another opinion that says, shem ya'achilenu davar tami. Perhaps the goy, because the goy is not ne'eman on kashrut, you know, and he doesn't care about all these things. We're afraid that perhaps the goy will feed you something that is asur, and then you're going to eat it, and then you can't. He says, no, akol kasher. Can you believe it?
Huh?
Yeah. On purpose, by accident, it doesn't matter. If the goy says, tzmoch alai, believe me, everything's kosher, it doesn't work that way. Goy doesn't have ne'emanut, he doesn't have any believability according to the Torah, and therefore we're concerned that he's going to feed you something asur. There are various, the very first pitche tshuva in Yoreh De'asim and Kuf Yud Gimal discusses a big nafkamina between these two things. Who can think of a nafkamina between these two reasons?
Oh, if you're on a cruise and you're never going to meet the chef.
No. When the chachamim make it,
you're not going to come to marry them.
Yeah.
Second reason, they could still put something in your food.
Buying from stores to your own house.
No, watch. What happens if you have a Yisrael Mumar? A Yisrael, a Jew, who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvot. Zero Shomer Torah Mitzvot. Even if he's Mechalen Shabbatot, Oved Avodah Zarah, and Yodama, the worst Avonot. Now, you tell me, can he cook your food or not? Now plug it in.
According to the first opinion, seemingly yes, because there's no assimilation.
Oh, because over there, at the end of the day...
Could marry them.
But according to the second opinion, but if a mumar is, they also go after other people, or it's just themselves?
What do you mean?
Meaning, isn't there a different, like, if it's just himself that he doesn't care,
yeah,
but he's doing all the avirot, that doesn't inherently mean that he would want either of the people.
Doesn't have any ne'emanut. Mumar doesn't have ne'emanut. Especially, let's say, mumar, lechalen shabbatot, zero ne'emanut in any area. He says, no, it's kosher. Bye-bye, love you, but what?
What's a Yisrael Mumar again?
Yisrael is a wayward Jew. Mumar in general is a reference to that is either Avodah Zarah or Chilul Shabbat. Now, unfortunately, to put the two things in the... Al Titzchak, the Chachamim put them in the same category. Why? Because a person is Michalen Shabbat. Domeh. Yeah, it's like Avodah Zarah. It's denying the existence of Kadosh Baruch Hu Bar Minan. Now...
So Mumar is someone that just...
Yisrael Mumar.
That is someone that is Michalen Shabbat or the same category?
That's what he is.
No, that's what he is. A Jew who's Michalen Shabbat or Oved Avodat Kochavim. Yeah? As opposed to, let's say he does other Averot. Yeah, guess what? Plenty of Jews do plenty of Averot. And Manasot. Can you rely on them for Kashrut? Yes. Do you rely on them for Kashrut? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Everyone does Averot. When we say Yisrael Mumar is not Ne'eman, when does he lose Ne'emanut? It's for... Or, here's another one. Let's say Yisrael Sheshomer Shabbat. Give me an example of another way. A Jew who is Shomer Shabbat and doesn't worship Avodah Zarah loses his Ne'emanut for Kashrut.
Hofer.
No.
Gambling?
That's
Edudaman.
No. He doesn't keep kosher. The halacha is that if he himself is mizalzel, let's say he keeps Shabbat, but he doesn't need kashrut. So over there, he doesn't have ne'emanut for kashrut either. He loses ne'emanut. It's a maran meforash beyored de'asim al kufutet. He's chashud al adavar. He's not ne'eman. Now,
if someone thinks they keep Shabbat, does that consider Shomer Shabbat?
I don't even know what that means. What does it mean to think?
My grandma thinks she keeps Shomer Shabbat.
Don't say your grandma. Your grandma's a nice lady. No, I don't know.
Younger people, like your cousins, they don't know that it's a sort of certain things.
It's a very, very loaded question because it depends on a lot of variables. Because it sounds like, it's a Pandora's box that can open a lot of doors. What is it? Everyone can think that they're keeping Shabbat on their own level. You know what I'm saying? One person can think that driving a car is not being Mechalun Shabbat, and another person can think that watching a TV is not Chilun Shabbat. So it's really hard to draw the line. I don't want to answer in such a public, general forum because there might be bits and pieces in order. But in general, there are certain situations where even if a person is Mechalun Shabbat, but for instance, let's say they still make Kiddush on Shabbat, they believe in Yichud Hashem, and they keep kosher at home, so there will be certain situations where they don't completely lose their ne'emanut for kashrut. Let's just leave it at that. Okay, now. The laws of Bishul Akum are very vast. Okay, there's many things that we can talk about. Foods we spoke about, whatever. Now, there is a very famous Machloket Rishonim, which ends up in Machloket Acharonim. What exactly constitutes Bishul? Meaning, we know that Chazal say Bishul Akum is no good. We need it to be Bishul Yisrael. So it means the Jew has to cook. Now, when we say that the Jew has to cook, how much intervention of the Jew does there need to be in order to consider it Bishul Yisrael? And that's a famous, right? So Gabi, tell me a little bit about this topic.
On both sides, or just the flame?
Okay. Well, you're one for two. So watch this, which is good. Watch this, batting 500. Now, listen carefully. Yeah? Listen very carefully. Rashba, Ran, many Rishonim, they hold, and Maran Shulchan Aruch brings this down to Halacha, that when we say that the Jew has to cook it, the Jew has to cook it means that he has to intervene, he has to be part of the actual bishul, which means putting the pot on the fire, putting the tray in the oven in a place where it can cook. He has to actually do a significant act in the cooking. Now, it's got to stay that way until Ma'achal ben Derusai. You're right, because as Gabi said, if the Jew just puts it on and then the goy, a minute later just takes it off, the goy can many times undo that significant action of the Jew. So according to Maran, he's got to actually participate in the guf of bishul, in the actual cooking, and have it kept there until at least it's a third cooked. Then I'm, a third cooked.
Is it Machal ben Derusai's half? No?
Machal ben Derusai is machloket rishonim. By Yelchot Shabbat, we tend to go le'achmir to consider it half. By Bishul Akum, which is only a drabanan, we go le'akil, which is a third. Yeah? 3 years ago in SBM, we actually... We learned the sugiyot of Bishul Akum in depth. The Rama, famously, if you... Huh? Where were you? In Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
Ishma?
No, you're off the derech. That's right.
No, lama atam. No.
Before, pre-Israel.
Oh, okay. Now. Says. Now. Says. Shonara, al tagid. Now he says. We say in Tachanun every day. Al tizkor lanu avonot rishonim. You know. Aya. And then with tshuva, lo aya. It's gone. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Kacha. Now he says, there's a famous story. People tend to say, you know the famous story with the Chafetz Chaim getting slapped? And they learn from that story that you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara about yourself? I don't know about the validity of the story, but that's fake news. La Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim writes Mifurash in Sefer Chafetz Chaim that you are allowed to say Lashon Hara about yourself. Well, he doesn't say that you're allowed to. He says that if you tell somebody Lashon Hara about yourself and somebody else, that person's allowed to believe you for what you said about yourself, but not about what you said about the other one. So, you know, fake news alert, you are allowed to say Lashon Hara about yourself. But that's not Lashon Hara because it just doesn't even exist. It's not history. Now, that being said...
But how does that go into not talking about your Avonot in the past? No, how could you speak Lashon Hara about yourself without mentioning like Avonot or like... I guess
that's a different story. There's two different things going on. I'm talking about now, Al tizkolanu avonot rishonim. We ask Hashem, please don't remember our previous avonot. Wipe it off. That's why it's even halacha. The Shulchan Aruch brings down Choshen Mishpat and Chot Ona'ah. Ona'ah Dvarim, if you go over to a person, Baal Tshuva, who used to do a certain avera, you know he's Chozer B'Tshuva, and you go over to him and you say, oh, you remember when you were, you know, a few years ago, when you were off the derech, you did this and this and that? That's Isur Deoraita of Ona'ah Dvarim. Can't do that. Now, Rama famously says that in order to constitute, he brings other Rishonim, Arivai, and others who say that Bishul Israel, the Jew doesn't necessarily have to intervene in the cooking in any significant way. Even if it's minor intervention. Gabi, what's minor intervention?
Just turning on the fire.
So, according to the Rama, if the Jew turns on the fire, even if the Goy takes it and runs with it, and he does the whole cooking mitchila v'ad sof, but the Jew turned on the fire, l'da'at Rama, is a Bishul Israel. What would Maran say about that? Lo nachon?
Significant.
Yeah, zelotov, according to Maran, that would still constitute very much Bishul Akum. Now, here's another thing. The Rama takes it a step further. Even if the Jew didn't necessarily light the fire which is being used to actually cook, he says, another kula. Let's say a Jew lit a fire. He lit a nin neshama. Yahrzeit candle. The goy wants to cook something. What does he do? He takes the flame. He transfers the flame. Yeah, like Yom Tov. Yeah? He takes the flame from the yahrzeit candle or from the pilot that the Jew lit and then he uses it to turn on the gas or to turn on the oven. And Yodama says the Rama, Bishul Israel. The Gam Bishul Israel. Even though it's a transferred flame.
One more time.
Tagid.
You light a candle the night before in the restaurant, you leave it there overnight, and the non-Jew cook comes, takes that fire, and you use it to turn on the stove.
According to Rama, it still constitutes Bishul Israel v'mutar. Now, Maran vehemently disagrees with this thing, and he says it's still considered Bishul Akum. Now, let's not forget, Bishul Akum, people unfortunately don't look at Bishul Akum as treif. Yeah, because according to the Chachamim, you can have meat that was nishchat. It was slaughtered, soaked, salted by Moshe Rabbeinu. If a goy cooks it, what happens to the meat? Becomes treif. Meaning, treif not in the actual meat, but now as a result of this din de rabbanan of Bishul Akum, the meat becomes forbidden. Not only that, meat is just an example, whatever food it is. Now, not only that, Da'at Maran, the very last sa'if in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel in Yuna De'a, is that not only is Bishul Akum, not only does it asr the food, what else does it asr? The kelim. As if you had treif, just like treif, not only is the food asur, but the kelim are asurim, so too now, if a person cooks Bishul Akum, if the goy cooks Bishul Akum in your pots, now what happens? Your pots become treif. If the kasher them, tzarich ha-ga'ala, or libun, depending on what the keli is. So, this is the famous machloket, Maran and Rama. In a perfect world, Sfaradim would be makpid all the time not to touch things, because if you ask Maran, what the Rama says is Isur Gamun, according to Maran. In a perfect world, Sfaradim would stay away from what the Rama is makshir as Bishul Israel with a 10-foot pole. Why? It's Asur. Not at home, and not in yeshiva, and not in the restaurant,
and not on the plane, and not anywhere. Now, it goes without saying that at home, obviously, like a Gaon of Amar always says, a badatz hachi tov is a badatz shel habayit. Yeah? What's the best badatz? Why is the best kashrut at home?
Shalom.
You have most control anytime you're dealing with commercial. As great, as wonderful, as makpid as the kashrut is, once it's commercial, once it's in a public forum, becomes much more difficult to control. That's why you need mashgichim and mifakhim and all sorts of things. Nachon? At home, you have much more control. So, at home, you know, it's much easier to get Bishul Yisrael lechatechila leda'at Maran, much easier. Outside, we don't live in a perfect world. It becomes infinitely much more difficult, as I'll explain. And not only that, many times, even at home, the situations aren't optimal all the time, and sometimes you won't be able to get Bishul Yisrael leda'at Maran at home either. Right? Sometimes people have maids, live-ins, all sorts of situations, and they're having them. Now again, not that I'm condoning it. Maybe we should have a different series on this, but the halachot that come out from having a maid or a live-in at home, a non-Jewish help, creates issues in many areas of halacha. Kashrut, bishul akum, basar shenit'ane min ha'ayin, yichud, Shabbat, many different. It's not pashut. We take it as a given today. You know what I'm saying? Everyone here, not ever. I would assume has, you know, maybe household help once or twice or a week at least, or maybe every day. I have friends in Mexico who live there. They have like three. You know, because they pay like $5 a day. They're like, no, it's yadua. In Mexico, it's like a dime a dozen. Kacha. It creates halachic issues. One of them that we have to deal with is this bishul akum issue. So even though you're in the confines of your own home, you're not necessarily immune from the effects of bishul akum. First of all, bishul akum bishul Yisrael leda'at Rama, which according to Maran is no good. And second of all, bishul akum mamash sometimes. So what do you do over there? We're going to speak about. You know what? Let's at least begin, because now I've already broached the topic. There are other shitot. Now, we spoke about, number one is the method or the intervention, how much the Jew has to participate in the cooking. That's machlokot Maran v'Rama. There are other machlokot as well, about, let's say, we'll call it the setting of the cooking. There is a Tosfot on the top of Lamed Chet Amud Aleph in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Tosfot brings down one of the Baalei HaTosfot, Rabbeinu Avraham ben David, not to be confused with the Ra'avad, the one who argues in the Rambam all the time. This was a Ba'al HaTosfot, different. Rabbeinu Avraham Ba'al HaTosfot, he writes that the only time, the only setting where there is Bishul Akum is in the jurisdiction of the Goy. If the cooking happens in the Goy's house, in the Goy's store, in the Goy's jurisdiction, but if it happens in, we'll call these the key words, if it happens in Bet Yisrael, if it happens under Jewish jurisdiction, such as a Jew's home, Jew's business, v'chule, over there, there's no issue of chitun. Why? Since he's under your, we'll call it your protective jurisdiction, we're not concerned about any possible assimilation coming out. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Avraham ben David Ba'al HaTosfot. It doesn't say that in the Shas. The vast majority of poskim, Rabbeinu Tam on the spot, says, wrong. Lo nachon. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with him. Rova poskim disagree with him. Maran HaBet Yosef disagrees with him. Maran HaBet Yosef in Bidek HaBayit quotes this Rabbeinu Avraham Ba'al HaTosfot, and he says, we don't find such a chiluk anywhere in the Shas, and therefore when Chazan said that Bishul Akum is Asur, it's Asur everywhere. His house, your grandma's house, is Asur. Nachon? That's a shita. Okay, so there is a legitimate opinion that says that, but what did Maran HaBet Yosef do to it? He shot it down. Yeah. So listen, I want you to keep score. The opinion of the Rama is also a legitimate opinion. The opinion of the Rama of the Jew turning on the fire. Plenty of Rishonim say that. What did the Bet Yosef do to that? Shot it down. Bet Yisrael of the Ra'avad. What did the Bet Yosef do? Shot it down. There's more. There's a machloket Rishonim between the Ramban and the Rash. Makar, we're good?
We're good.
Yeah? Oh, you like this, nachon?
I gave him like a little, yeah.
Oh, this one?
That one.
No, he says, no. Bekitzur, there's an opinion, there's machloket, Ramban and Rashba, that the Bet Yosef brings down also in Kufyut Gimal, Saif Dalit. He says, what about Shfachot? What about if I have a Shifcha Kina'anit? Shifcha Kina'anit is owned by me. They're not allowed to work on Shabbat, not only for me, they're chayav to keep Shabbat. They're owned by me. If a Shifcha Kina'anit cooks for me, what's the halacha? The Ramban Mekel. The Rashba argues on his Rebbe, and he's Machmir. He says, no, even though Shifcha Kina'anit, they're partially Jews. How is Shifcha Kina'anit partially a Jew? She's chayav ben mitzvot keisha. Nevertheless, says the Rashba, ze bishul akum. In order to be bishul Yisrael, we don't want half Jews. We need full Jews. Therefore, the Rashba says it's still considered bishul akum. And Maran Shulchan Aruch holds like drum roll. No, Rashba. The Rashba, he's osir, which is interesting. This whole topic over here, bishul akum, is din drabanan. Maran Machmir, Kedat Rashba. Now, that being said, so Maran shut that down also.
Wow.
Watch this. The Shach and Taz on this halacha bring down that many poskim, the Shach and the Rama, they understand that the heter that the Ramban has of Shfachot is not only Shifcha Kena'anit, even Shfachot Shelanu, even Shfachot, even. Even ones that you don't own, even shfachot haschurot, which means even, do you own your help today? You don't own them. What do?
Depends on the country.
Well, I mean, slavery is abolished in most, yeah. But
they have to clean the toilets.
Yeah. No, but so in most civilized countries today, there's no slavery. You don't own them. And therefore, they're still allowed to work on Shabbat, at least for themselves. They're just paid help. So over there, nevertheless, the Shach and the Taz explained that Lidat Rama, even if you don't own the help, the hetero is still, the Rama's hetero, the Ramban's hetero would still extend to them as well. It's a major, major kula. Don't forget, Maran shot it down. But according to the Ramban, he says, Be'emet, even if it's not owned, even if it's not a kind of shifcha, that you'd be mechuyav al shvitatam b'shabbat. Nevertheless, you would still have that heter according to the Ramban. We don't hold like it, but the Rama does.
So if someone like Ashkenazi has like a personal chef, he can live in the house, make whatever he wants, the chetchila he can eat it.
The Rama says as long as he does something, either turning on the fire or even shaking the pot a little bit, the Rama has such a heter. Now, one second, I gotta end off here, but keep tabs, Rabotai. All of these potential heterim that we've been speaking about, Maran just keeps on blowing out of the water. Now, it would seem that we have a little, you know, it's not looking good for Sfaradim in an Ashkenazi kitchen right now, as it stands right now. And I'm saying, we're talking about Isurim Chamurim. Is there any wiggle room? Bezrat Hashem will revisit it tomorrow night, or time out. Not tomorrow night. Tomorrow night there's a shir by Rabbi Menzer, so Bezrat Hashem tomorrow afternoon, before, right after Mincha. Right after Mincha, Bezrat Hashem. And another announcement from Yaakov Toledano, he asked if he sent out a link for sign up for the Shabbaton, if everybody can just click on that and register one way or another, just so that we have a. It's the Shabbat before Shabbat Chanukah.
December 17th.
Shabbat before Chanukah. Yeah? Okay, Rabotai. Atkan, Yom Tov. Lechul Limudechim. Yeah.